Hi, everybody. It's Michelle, and this is December 2nd, 2019, and this is our third call in the Having a Big Why series. I hope you all had a wonderful U.S. Thanksgiving if you were in the U.S., and I did too, even though I'm in Canada. I took the day off, which I've never done before, just because it was U.S. Thanksgiving. Thank you, Barb. I see your like big smile for me. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, so I hope it was a beautiful, beautiful week for you all. So we're going to begin in Shavasana as we always do. So, and thank you for coming here. For those who are here live on a Monday at 2 in Mountain Time, it's weird, I know. Thank you for being here live. And those who are listening to the recording, thank you for that as well. I'm spending time with the Yanceys of eWomen Network all day Thursday in Dallas. So they're inviting just a few of us, not all of the people who've graduated from SOAR, but just a handful of us, and then having us over for dinner at their place, which they never do. They don't invite people over for dinner. So of course I'm going to be there. I'll bring back things to you again from this deep dive with them. They are extraordinary entrepreneurs, and I learn a lot. I'm always a student as well. So that's what's happening Thursday. So let's begin today and this Monday afternoon with Shavasana. So find a comfortable place to lie down and give yourself space. Make sure there aren't objects that you're bumping into, not even touching, but when they're close by, we tend to shrink away from them. So clear out a space for yourself where you can be undisturbed as much as possible wherever you are now, and where you can let go of whatever happened before in your day, whatever's going to happen later. They don't exist except for in this present moment of our thinking and imagining them. So be here now in this moment of preparing for Shavasana, having a blanket or a pillow ready for beneath your head. You can line yourself up beside your couch if you want to put your calves on the couch. So think about the arrangement before our call starts. Whenever you can, so you've got the space set up for you beforehand. How do you want to be supported today, here and now? So again, lying on your back, support beneath your head and shoulders as needed to bring the chin lower than or at least a level with the forehead. That allows the mind to become quiet. Bend the knees and take the flesh of the buttocks and draw it toward the heels. You can use your hands to do so. And feel that there's neither a pushing of the back right hammered against the floor, nor an overarching of the back, but just that there's, you know, a bit of space there, but there's also a lengthening through that low back. And then slide your heels along the floor, one heel at a time. Really do this action consciously. Don't lift the leg, but instead slide the heel, and then one heel and then the other. So now the legs are straight out in front of you, and then let the baby toes drop to the earth. The rest of the toes naturally follow. Dig your elbows into the floor to lift and open the heart center. Any amount, lift and open the heart, and then release the arms to the floor. Now notice, did your shoulders come away from the head support a little bit? Mine usually do when that happens. So can you, without disturbing the arms, just adjust? Sometimes you got to adjust back and forth. Adjust the head support, adjust the chest. All the parts of the body are interrelated. Can you make those tiny adjustments so that the head and neck are well supported? The heart center is open. The arms and legs are resting. Softly close the eyes if you haven't already. And just notice, is any part of the body asking for attention? Is any part of the body, so I'm just muting one more line here. Mute all. Okay, I just want to make sure that all the lines were muted. All right. Is any part of the body not at ease? So make whatever tiny adjustments you need to set the body in a place where it's aligned and at ease. Arms equidistant from the center line, legs equidistant from the center line, head straight. I say to somebody, hey, that person's got their head on straight. Well, we learn to do this in Shavasana, actually have the head on straight. And then once you've made the adjustments you need to be comfortable, take comfort and find stillness. When we keep making micro adjustments, the mind stays busy. So it takes just a little bit of will to have the body be still. So the mind over the next few minutes can come to stillness as well. Mind and body interlinked. Scan the body for any tension and just breathe into that spot now. Just let that tension go. Relax the feet. Relax the calves, lower legs. Relax the knees and thighs. Relax the buttocks, hips, torso, chest, relax. Relax the lower back, mid back, upper back. Relax the shoulders. Relax the upper arms. Relax the elbows. Relax the forearms. Relax the hands. Relax all the fingers in the left hand. Relax the fingers in the right hand. Feel softness at the center of the palm. Feel that tingling aliveness that you can feel when you pay attention to the body. Right at the center of the palm. Have you noticed it's there today? And continuing up the body, soften the throat, back of the neck. Soften the skin of the scalp. Relax the face, relax all the tiny muscles of the face. Relax the jaw. Let the lips be touching, not touching, just barely touching. Teeth slightly parted. Relax the tongue. Soften the skin of the forehead. Relax between the eyebrows. Feel that skin become smooth as you place your attention there. Let the eyes sink back toward the back brain, allowing the mind to become quiet. Watch the breath. Feel the ease of breath. Let each breath take you deeper and deeper into silence. Know that whatever quietness you found here today, it's always available to you. It's there with each and every breath when we pay attention. Allow the breath to deepen. Slowly bend the knees, give yourself a big hug. Rock gently from side to side to massage the lower back. And roll onto your right side. Take a breath or two here. Softly open your eyes. Use your hands to press yourself up to sitting and rejoin our virtual circle. As always, camera on whenever you can. Training that one-pointed attention that we train each week we meet in Shavasana. Marla, you're first. Great to see you. Hi, Grace. Great to see you. I got your text, just haven't had a chance to reply yet. Thank you. All right. And as cameras are coming on, hi, Mary Kay. Let's hear from one or two of you. What did you love here? A sentence or two? What stays with you? Grace.
At the very end, you actually talked about pointed attention, and I'm in my new co-working space for the first time, and I was the only one in this space all morning long. This half of the building, no one was here, and just before the call, one person came in, laptop open, having a conversation, and just as we moved into Shavasana, I'm sitting for it. There's a tour group that came through. And I could hear them in the background, but I just stayed focused, single point of attention, coming back. And it was pretty exciting. This is like a new training I need to do for myself, coming from solidarity to out in the world.
Grace, I love this because after all, that's what it's for. We're not designed just to do Shavasana all our lives, right? We train there and it's such an important practice. And then we bring it out into the world. And so can we take that same quiet space? And then can we also practice that in whatever environment we're in? And so I love that. It's like, whatever's happening, I'm here. Whatever's happening, I'm here. Stuff happens in our companies. We're just going to be here because we've practiced it. It's not just it's kind of like, we train it. We do it all over and over again. It's like going to the gym and doing bicep curls once and going like, what happened? Somebody said doing bicep curls makes my bicep stronger, but this thing doesn't work. I only did it once, right? This is a practice. And I love the fruit of your practice. Like, oh, you're just coming back here. Tour group coming through, doesn't matter. I'm here. You know, like bomb goes off somewhere in the world, heaven, you know, forbid. And I'm just going to, I'll go out in Shavasana, you know, it's like, just here. I'm here. Thank you. Beautiful, Grace. Love it. Let's hear from one more of you. What did you love in this practice today? Training that focus on what we, you know, what we focus on expands, training the focus always on what do I love? Training myself to see it and then training myself to speak and share. Who would like to share? Marla, thank you.
So I also did it sitting up because otherwise my dog would want to help me.
We had an interesting story about that last time, right? About the dog helping. So, you know, it's so perfect whether we let the dog help or not. Yeah.
I chose not to let him help. But.
It's all perfect. There's never just one way to do it, right? And how did that go for you, Marla? What did you love?
It went really well. It was really interesting because it's like as you went through it, I just kept finding more parts that could relax. more parts that could be quiet. And it felt so good.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And I think that's the first time there's so many ways to go into Shavasana. And I think in the year and a half or so, I've lost track of that we've been doing Shavasana at the beginning of the calls now. I think that's the first time I've given you that version of Shavasana. But it's a really, really wonderful thing to do. And to actually consciously bring the focus to that part of the body. First, am I able to only focus there and not be drifting? And then as I focus there, I have the capacity to change that just by my attention to it. And these are huge qualities to bring to our companies and our world. Can I only focus on the work that I'm doing with my team right now and not be distracted by the other thing? As I place my attention there, it shifts. So being able to have that focus where I want it to be, we learn so many things in this practice. Marla, is that another, was that a hand?
Okay. Well, one thing that came up is that I do a massage thing with horses where basically I just bring their attention to a spot and let them release it, not really even touching it often. And this felt very much like that today.
I love that. And, you know, animals are so in tune. I think I mentioned a class or two ago, so we name a lot of the yoga poses. It's dog pose and cat pose and eagle pose. There's a reason for that, right? The animals are so aligned, and then we learn from them, right? And then also mutuality of that, right? That connectedness. So I love that. And as we get more connected with ourselves, I get more connected with myself in this practice of Shavasana, I can connect better with others and therefore the world too. So love that you brought up the that you do is some, like, it reminded you of something that you do with your horses. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It's perfect. All right. Anything else burning to be said? Anything else you wanting to be shared before we move on? Okay. And again, I want to thank you now that I can see all of you for being here on a Monday. Those who are here that I can see, thank you. I know it's not our usual time. And we're a smaller number too today, probably also because of the day switch. So, and also, you know, it's December. I know a lot of things going on and people may still be, I don't know if they still keep celebrating the week after Thanksgiving. I don't know if that happened. I know it's all week long in the U.S., right? And Sergio, you and I, we don't know about this as much, right? So, the U.S. version of Thanksgiving. But thank you for being here. So great. And that means that with a smaller group that I'm looking forward to hearing each and every one of your voices. And one of the questions you can have in your mind today is like, well, what is it that sometimes we're thinking like, what am I getting out of this, right? But what is it that I'm contributing to the whole here? Like, what do I have to give today? What either observations or shares or whatever it is, what am I bringing to the table? And that's kind of a neat way to think about it. You know, when is my voice being heard? So just to notice that, and especially today is a great day for it. And tomorrow we'll have Karen's, we'll be a larger group tomorrow. We have Karen's group join us for the practical application series. So, good day to, always is a good day to have your voice be heard, but today, looking forward to hearing each and every one of your voices. So if you haven't spoken yet today, like, what is it that you want to share? All right, just a couple of announcements. Reminder, we've got a class tomorrow. We've got a couple classes each week now for a couple of weeks. So please make sure that you've got all the big rocks on your calendar and double check our latest calendar, which was, I think the date on it at the top of it should say October. If it says early September, you've got the wrong calendar you're following. So make sure you've got the one that was most recently sent out to you guys. There were some changes like the call today, right? So make sure you're following that calendar. We've had, Emily made it up for me last time we talked about the fun formula and, you know, what are some ideas that we kids don't need to learn it, but we need to relearn it. We need to get back to being a kid and find that fun again. So, just some ideas about it. And, I know that, a lot of you enjoyed that fun formula. So, Emily made it up and Amy posted it for us. So if you go over to Story Freedom Academy under why call one, usually the fun part is in call one, but then we did more of it in call two, but the fun formula, you can go find it over in call one, and just a nice little handout to remind you of some things you can do to tap into that, you know, childlike spirit. And remember, there's one ground rule really in the whole community. Like, if we're not having fun, we're not doing it right. If we're not having fun, we're not doing it right. So, and sometimes there might be tearful moments, there might be passionate moments, there might be all kinds of things, but underlying, do you know what I'm saying when I say, well, we know, not having fun, can you, if you know what I'm saying, like, oh, underlying, we know. And if not, it's time to lean in. It's time to ask questions. It's time to get support. If something underlying is not feeling fun, if you understand what I'm saying, raise your hand. Underlying, yeah, that should be 100% of you. Did anybody not raise their hand? Anybody not willing to raise your hand no matter what today? Yeah. So just check in and always see with this journey and every other. It's like Thanksgiving dinner too. It's Thanksgiving last week. It's meant to be a time of thanks. But if it's not, if we're not having fun, we're not doing it right. Something needs to be course corrected, right? Sometimes family or whatever it is, you need to make an adjustment. What would make it fun, right? And so let me see. Just a reminder about the big rocks on your calendar as well. So we've got a number of calls, and I know December can be a very full month. So again, make sure that they're on your calendar and it's making time for you, making time for your business and the work that you do in the world. And then also that home play that I gave you, I like calling it home play, not homework, like, man, I got to get to it because all the energy is wrong then, right? Are you holding strategy sessions, whatever you call those, opportunities for people to leap into your work? Have you given talks or booked some? What's your theme word for the year? Have you been reading The Science of Getting Rich? So those things continue on. They weren't just for while I was away. And so remember to carve out time on your calendar for doing those things. Do you know what your word for the year is for 2020? We mentioned that several calls ago. So, let's see, how many of you, or does anybody, who has a word, a theme word for 2020 so far? Anyone? Mary Kay, awesome, hand up. All right, so because your hand was up, Mary Kay, would you be willing, and the answer no was always fine, would you be willing to start a thread in the Facebook forum about our theme word for the year? Because it's a really good time to be creating that. It's like, would you share your theme word and say, Michelle suggested this on this call, what's your theme word? And, you know, it's a really great thing. Otherwise, it descends into chaos if we don't have a theme word. What is it that you want to focus on? What do you want your word, your year to be about? And sometimes we're unwilling to choose too, because it's like, well, if I choose that one, it's not that one. But if we go deeply into, say, abundance, that was my word 1 year. Abundance, connectedness, another year. Receiving was another year. I thought they were different, you know, words, different years. If we go deeply into abundance, for instance, well, if we're really deeply focused on that one thing of abundance, this is what I found when I was doing the PhD, because you go so specific and people think, oh, you're just starting the head of a pin. Why do you bother? But to really understand that, you need to understand all this other stuff too and implement it and know it. If I go deeply into abundance, I really need to be connected with others. Otherwise, like, how can my life feel abundant? If I'm going to be have that feeling of abundance, love is going to be in there somewhere. I'm going to have to let go of this feeling of scarcity. That, do you get it? Like, there's other pieces that will be in there because I took a stand and chose. And I'll feel those other things even more because I'm looking at it through the lens of that one thing. It gives my year coherence. So just a reminder about some things in play, and that will help you get the most out of having a big Y series about practical applications as well. And remember, if you've been to practical applications before, we've never done it like we're going to do it this time around. I've learned so much, and so much has happened since the last time around. We're not doing it again for another year. Make use of this time around. We've done it several times in the last, you know, not that long. And now this is not going to come around again for another year at least. It's going to be at a whole new level, and you're at a whole new level. So if you've done it before, don't think that you've been there before. Now, where are you at now? How many talks, if it's about your talk, how many talks have you given? What's your next level talk? What other bigger audiences can you be giving it to? What are your questions about it now, for instance? What's your close rate, and how do you improve that? Like, there's like next level questions. And if you're going like, what are we talking? I don't even know. I've never been there before. Well, then you're in for a treat. It's a wonderful, wonderful series to find those words in every aspect of your business. And we use our words everywhere. So just a plug for tomorrow's call, a reminder of its importance. And if you haven't listened listened to the pre-call yet, I suggest you go back and do that. And if you can't find access to it, you can always remember, you can text me. That's emails I don't necessarily see. So text me. Even if you email me, text me. And if you don't have my number, you know, ask my team, Amy@MichelleGunderson.com, Emily@MichelleGunderson.com. You can reach me or my team in those ways if you have questions or concerns or whatever it is you need, all right? So including like finding calls, et cetera. All right, today's call. And so there's lots of announcements. Any questions about any of that? All things to help you forward on your journey. Okay. So today's call, last time, I need a new call title because last time it was Things I Learned from Thailand. Right? We did a deep dive into Thailand. And so, but there's always play and space in our calls. So we always get to all the material that I want to get to, all the content. We never miss it, right? Never in the 10 years of the community, we never miss it. So don't worry. And so what I thought was going to be the title for the call last time is today's call, Stop Being Perfect, Start Being Passionate. And where we're going to begin, though, is with a question. And there were some great questions posted by Mary Kay. And if you posted, remember for this series, post in Love Your Words. For practical applications, go post in practical applications. Does that make sense? There's two different series going on right now. And if you forget, it might just mean that I don't see your question that time, but I'll catch it for the next call, all right? So, and always just a reminder, give me instructions. Like, Michelle, I can't be there live on the call. Like, hi, Sherry, thank you for letting me know you can't be here live. I hope you're enjoying the recording. So if you can't be here live, you can just say, I'm not going to be there live, but please answer the question anyway. Or you can say, I'm not going to be there live, so answer it the following week, but I just wanted to post it now because I'm remembering. Or you can say, Michelle, will you make sure that I have a chance to talk about this question because I want to make sure that, you know, I add something to this question with my voice. Or if that doesn't matter to you, because sometimes the question is answered through the course of the whole call in the way that I structure the call, I think about your questions, right? Then it might be answered in a different way. Or Michelle, you gave a great answer to this question last time, but it didn't really answer the question for me. So here's the follow-up question, right? So, and I want you to focus especially on this aspect. So you can instruct me to help me be the best coach for you, all right? The best facilitator for everybody too. So just a reminder about questions. So so Mary Kay's questions. Thank you, Mary Kay. Awesome. The one question that Mary Kay, there's one question that she asked that I'm going to, one we're going to dive deep into, and the other one I'm going to postpone with your with your permission, Mary Kay, because it's a, how do you know if you're being too perfect instead of passionate or too passionate? And I think the whole call is going to be answering where that comes from, right? So does that make sense? And then repost it for next time in this series. That one would be good to post in this series. And if you're not sure which series to post in, don't worry about it. Just post the question. It's always all good. Don't think too hard. I want to mess you up about that. Like, just post questions, right? But if it doesn't get answered, repost it. But we'll have some very specific advice about that today. Okay, Mary Kay? But the other question I want to dive into, Mary Kay says, what is the best initial free offer? Number one. Number two, guided by your example of Anatomy of an Empowering Story, I'm writing a piece that introduces my work. What is a good range of word count for best conversion? So what's the best initial free offer? So I think sometimes, like, I love the question because having a free gift, we'll talk more about this in the practical applications series. We'll do a deep dive into that, especially in depending on like the depth of questions about it. But I want to do a piece of this today. And it's so important to have, in response to Mary Kay's question, so it's so important to have a free gift. How many of you have a free gift, by the way? How many of you have a free gift in your area that you give out to people? Hands up. How many do not have a free gift, but you are working on one? How many do not have a free gift and it hasn't really been on your radar, but now think maybe it ought to be because I'm speaking about it? Okay, fantastic. So by next week, ideally, every hand should be up like, I have a free gift. I have one. Not, I'm working about on air, thinking about it, so you can add that to your list of fun things to play with. And I will tell you that the first time I created a free gift, I did it at Peak Potentials, and they were no-nonsense kind of people. We did it right in the course on the spot. They gave us an hour, and it had to be posted up online within the hour. That's the kind of training that I received over there. And I don't want to do that to you guys. How many of you, your heart rate is racing a little more just even saying that? Like, I took the hit for you, all right? I did that for you. I don't think that's really necessary. But it does, even just telling you about that, hopefully train something. In fact, that free gift is still available to you. It's one of the handouts. I can't even remember the name of it now, to be honest. I made it almost about 10 years ago, I think. But it's up there, and it's actually, I stand by it. I wrote it in an hour, and I stand by it. And at the other extreme, so this is more than Mary Kay asked for, but at the other extreme, I took an entire summer, basically, to write Anatomy of an Empowering Story, because there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in those 15 pages or whatever it is. So you can make a free gift in an hour. You can make a free gift and it can take you months, but get your first free gift and just get it done. That's, you know, my first free gift, I took an hour. You could all have one by next week. And it's not so much about the length of it, even though Mary Kay, you're asking about the ideal length. I can't give you a good answer. I mean, mine happens to be 13 or 14 or 15 pages. I've seen great free gifts that are a page. I've seen great free gifts that are books, you know, like, usually not a whole book, but like an ebook, you know, maybe 50 pages or something. So I don't think there is an answer to that question that's real, other than how many pages does it take for you to get the point across that you want to get across, right? And I used to teach, when I taught at the university and I was assigning papers, the students were always so interested, like, tell me how long the paper is supposed to be. And I didn't care so much, but I learned to tell them exactly how many words because they needed to know. Right. And so they really wanted to know. But I'm like, how many words, when I first started teaching, like, how many words does it take for you to get your point across? But then they relaxed more when I gave a word count. So if you want a word count, I don't know, make it the length of Anatomy. That's what I did, but it's not necessarily going to be so for you. So what's the most important thing then about your free gift? The most important thing about your free gift, it's not just introducing people to your work, which it certainly is doing that, but it's not just that. Anatomy doesn't just do that. What it does is, and so what goes in it and how long it needs to be, is like, how do I perform this function and make it that long? You can have a great free gift that can be a, you know, top five things list or top 10 things list. It's one page. You know, top five mistakes most X do when they Y with Z, or Z if you're American. So like, Z for us Canadians. So that could be your free gift. Number one, they do this. Number two, they do that. Number three, want to learn more? Come and talk to me in the strategy session, therefore. Yeah, I'll tell you more about like how not to do this or whatever it is, whatever their next step is, right? So it could be a list of five things. It could be a list of 10 things. It could be like mine, a book that took a little longer to write. I would suggest you keep it simple for your, if you don't have a free gift yet, write a simple list. You know, what's the questions that people are always asking you about that they want to know? That's a good way to start. What's their top of mind question? Now, Anatomy of an Empowering Story doesn't really do that, to be honest. Like, but I it depends on how you use that. I use that when I go with speaking. I use that as a place to start a conversation with people, and they don't, you know, in different arenas, and then I'm going to speak more to them about it. But if I were to write a, you know, top 10 questions, I might do something different now. And Anatomy works really, really well. It does the function that we want. So what do we want that free gift to do? We want it to address a top of mind problem for our ideal clients. We want it to be something that they hunger and desire for. And it's kind of like fishing in a pond, where like the pond is where your ideal clients hang out. And you go fishing with your free gift, and it's a thing that they're all gonna. It's like that's a kind of weird analogy, but it's like bait or something like that, right? It's what they truly, truly want, and they will go for, ideally every time, because they really, really want that. Brianna Day, Sandra Yancey's daughter, her free gift when she had her beauty boss company. So it's like the top 10 apps that every. I don't even know what they're called, but person in the beauty industry needs to have to get to the next level. It was worded better than that, but it was aimed at people in the beauty industry. She's aimed at millennials. They're all using apps, and they want to know. And, you know, with a few words about why they need these apps for the thing that she's going to lead them to, right? So, so what's the thing that was a top of mind question that they have? Address it in some way, and then they're going to have a problem remaining, and then the next step is going to be wherever it is that you want to take them. So it's more important to think about the like what you want to do. It's not just about introducing them to the work. It's got to address a problem, and then I guess if you think about anatomy, what it does, anatomy is a pretty sophisticated document. I made many free gifts before I made anatomy. Exposes the gap. So you could say that it does educate, but what it's really doing is it's exposing the gap. People don't always know that they need story when they're entrepreneurs or they're, you know, they're visionary messengers or whatever it is that you call yourself in this work that you do, right? But they know they need sales. They know they need team, depending on what level they're at. And so anatomy shows people that when they want all these other things, if they don't have a handle on story, it's really, really hard to get there. That is the message of anatomy. And that story is not what you think it is. It's much more complex. There's an inner world and an outer world story. The world is made up of story. And if you don't know that, it's going to be really hard to make all those other things that you're doing work well. And I can teach you about story, but I can't teach you about your own story. Unless you come and talk to me, would you like to have a conversation? What's the story that's getting in your way? What's the story that will help you move forward? So that's how anatomy works in this company. It's like I say, it's, I think if I were, I made that, I created it in 2015. And if I were to create it now, I would probably make it simple for myself and write a list of five things. Right? But I'm really happy that I have anatomy, but it was later on in the company. The company had already been doing a lot of work and had been around for quite a while when I took the time to create anatomy. I would get a free gift really quickly because you want to add people to your list, because you want to start a conversation, because those are the people then who become your prospects that you now get a chance to do deeper dive work with when they take further steps. So Mary Kay, somewhere in there, was there an answer to your question? Is there a follow-up question that you have about that? Does that help you with what you're looking for your gift?
Yes, it does. It makes me think of the 4-minute talk that I wrote and how that could possibly work, because it's yes. simpler and it's a lot more to the point and it addresses people's problems, but I wonder if it's too vulnerable.
Well, this is a safe community. This is a safe place. And one of the places to figure that out is here, right? So not here, right here on the moment, but the Facebook page, if you're willing to share it here first rather than sharing it out there in the world and say, hey guys, this is really vulnerable. And then I would also, like, sometimes people are just busy. So you might vulnerably post it and nobody responds and go, oh my goodness, I'm crushed, right? I mean, my editor might do that sometimes, but I'm not saying yours would, right? So you could even enlist a partner from the community to start with. It could be your buddy. It could be somebody from your small group. It could be, it could be one person that you reach out to. Hey, I posted this. Would you please go go listen to it and post so that I won't feel alone in that. Like, just be specific with what you need. And then ask yourself and you could post it as a question next time. You could post that as your question. It's like, here's a 4-minute thing. Michelle, what works and what doesn't work about this? If you want more detailed analysis, right? That's another step that you can take to refine that. But a talk is a great thing, and your talk. We'll talk about all these parts in more detail in practical applications. But your talk itself can be your free gift, because it's designed to take people on a journey. It can be a 4-minute talk. It could be, you know, some people have their 60-minute talk that is their free gift. Hey, listen to this. And then if people come to you to pick your brain, does anybody ever do that to you, right? Let me pick your brain for 4 hours, but, you know, and not in a structured conversation. I spent a lot of time with people, but in strategy sessions, it's a very structured conversation. But let me just randomly ask you some questions and then I'll go away. Like, that's not okay, right? That's just not okay. It's different from a strategy session. And if you're not sure how, post the question next time, because we're going to go into some other things today. But if people are just always picking your brain, well, put that those things that people are asking in your free gift. And then say, hey, I've got this free gift, read this, and then let's have a strategy session, right? So it'll save you hours and hours, and then you can get to talking to the people that you really need to be talking to, who are really good prospects for you on your journey. And if you're in your company, and if you don't have a lot of people that you're doing strategy sessions with, don't be so particular. Go and have strategy sessions with, if they're close in the range, just go and get the practice and you'll get better and better, all right? But then as people are starting to take up a lot of your time, then you need other mechanisms to protect your time so that you're talking to the right people. All right. That answers, I hope, like, does that, good to go for now, Mary Kay? Okay. So I love when you post questions. And again, it's always going to be related to the topic material at hand. I don't always like outline specifically why it is, and it's all going to be, it's always going to up level everybody. Like, a lot of hands went up when I asked you whether you had a free gift or not, and it's an essential ingredient in your kitchen. Everyone needs a free gift. It's one of the huge ways that we reach out and connect with people, take them in a deeper dive, right? So, and that's something that can be created this week. It can be created in an hour, so you can create it this week. You can get a buddy to create that with you. Like, you can take this as deep as you want. So Mary Kay, thank you for that question. And one of the things that I said is like, well, why do we even want one? So having a big why is about teaching as well. If I don't tell you why you should have a free gift, you're not going to be listening to any of Mary Kay's questions. You're like, I don't have a free gift. I don't want a free gift. What's the point? Can we get onto this part about having a big why, Michelle? So do you notice that even in teaching, I'm telling you why we need this? Because if I don't tell you why, I can tell you all the hows, but there's no way we're going to get there. I can tell you 10 things, 50 things that ought to go in your free gift, and nobody's going to do it. If I tell you why it's crucial to your business, even if I don't give you all the details, much more likely you're going to do it. If that makes sense to you, raise your hand. Did you get that? Yeah, thank you. All right, so this is at the heart of the Having a Big Why series. And it's at the heart of, so Mary Kay's question, I laced through it the piece about why. Mary Kay wasn't saying, she already knows that she wants to create one and she's doing it, but I wanted everyone to have the why about having a free gift. And I didn't think about, hey, it's the why series, I better tell you the why. It's just how I be, because this is a trained way of being, because the why matters. The why matters, right? That's what this series is about. Why is essential for stories as well. Luke in Star Wars, Luke Skywalker does not get up off the farm until he has a really big why to do so. He would stay stuck there forever. And so would your prospects, and so would your company, and like, unless we know why we're doing what we're doing, right? So I want to hear from at least one of you. Why did that matter to you? As you're listening to Mary Kay's question, because if it doesn't matter, then what's the point of being here, right? So like, why? Like, why is that important to you? What's your aha? What did you learn from this question about free gifts for you and your company? Who would like to share? What's your aha? And that's part of the training too. It's like, always have an aha, always have a takeaway. And you know, what is it that I found there for me? And if you're not sure yet, thank you, Grace. Just like, just put up your hand and just trust that something will come. Grace, go ahead. Thank you.
For me, it's like I started taking notes because all these possibilities came to mind depending on the markets I've served over all the years. Like if I were to address simplifying the college selection process, there's a free gift for parents to get, you know, I mean, that's one avenue. Or, you know, how do you build trust in a team? That's another avenue. So I was like, yeah, this whole thing has caused me to think of, oh my gosh, all these avenues.
Fantastic. I love that. Thank you. And all this work is connected because it's having you think about what are the important questions that my prospects, like my ideal clients are asking. So it has us, our focus trained on a really important question, because if we don't know what they're asking, we don't know what they need or want. It's hard to speak to them about anything that, you know, matters to them, right? Thank you, Grace. I love that. Let's hear one more on this before we move on. One more. What did you hear for you in this? What's opening for you now? Sergio, thank you. Oh, and you're muted, Sergio.
The free gifts, if you get to their why they need your resources and so on, it gets to their unconscious, their needs that they need, and that gives them more motivation to contact you.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah. I often know that I have met a potential new client, and then it's going to be up to them whether they decide to take that journey. But it's interesting. People come into strategy sessions very different ways. It's not always the case. But when people come into a strategy session and say, oh, yeah, I read anatomy, but I think I read parts of it. I kind of skimmed through it. And yeah, it's like, I've you know, heard that before. It means they didn't really read anatomy because they haven't heard it before. that person is kind of lukewarm, right? Other people come in, they go, I read it. Michelle, look, I've underlined things and circled things. And I read it 2 weeks ago. I read it again this morning. It tells you about that person too, right? And who they are and how much it's that is the thing that you do. An introduction to the thing that you do is resonating with them. And again, it's not just an introduction to your work. It's like, what's their question? And does it address that? So awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Sergio. And thank you, Grace. Thanks, Mary Kay, for the question. It's a great, great question. Okay. So today's call, stop being perfect, start being passionate. How many of you have ever found yourself caught in something, a project? We were talking a little bit about this last week, and don't quite know how to get started, or haven't quite got it published, or haven't quite got it done, or maybe you've known you've wanted to have a free gift, but it's like, thank you. First hand up. How many of you have ever done that before? Raise your hand. Caught up in it. I got to get it just right. You know, talk about over here, like myself, double type A perfectionist. Are you kidding me? And I get to see it writ large in my 20 year old daughter, who's like a 20 year old version of me on steroids. It's like, it's frightening. I mean, my daughter comes to me a couple days ago and she says, Mom, I got to do really, really well on this assignment because I'm not doing well in this course. I said, yeah, just listen. I said, Dana, what's going on? And she says, well, I have a low A in that course. Like I'm barely over the A line. The A is 90 and I'm only getting 91 in that course. So that's my beautiful daughter. I love her to bits. She's like me at 20 on steroids. You know, I just want to do everything just right. And when we do that, it's really easy to get all tightened up and we got to get, how are we supposed to do it? And then ego creeps in because I got to look right and so on and so forth. And my daughter knows it too. I mean, that's a kind of stereotype of her, like a straw version of her because she's playful about it. She knows that it's going to push all my buttons kind of thing in a good way, in a playful way, right? Like, come, Dana. And she's looking forward to that moment when I say, Dana, are you kidding me? Right. So, but when we're caught up on all those details, it's got to be just right. It's like all the passion gets drained out of it. Like I'm walking some tightrope. Like I got to get it right otherwise. Like somehow I've got to be something other than what I am. And that is not okay, right? And it's really hard to build a company that way. It's really hard to build a company that way. Because then I'm afraid to go even talk to that person. I'm afraid to write the free gift because what if it's not the right one? What if I pick the wrong one? What if it's, you know, and I pick the right topic, but what if I don't get it just so? And who would like to get out of that perfectionist loop to get to something else? Raise your hand. Okay. And did you notice what I just did as I asked you that? I gave you a big why for today's material. Because today's material addresses that. Stop being perfect. Start being passionate. And how is it that we become passionate about it instead? So that this, you know, I dropped this thread or it's not quite right over here, but I know that I'll get there and I'm willing to put it out there. I have both a huge perfectionist streak and then there's some part of me that just goes ahead and does things. I held my first, in those days, I just called it a yoga and writing retreat. If you're at Story Freedom, for instance, we did a little bit of yoga and we didn't do as much writing, but you were writing and we were using words. So it's like not that different. mean a little bit different, but you know, I'm still doing that. I'm still doing that. I just called it something different. But that first retreat, my first 3-day retreat, I planned it and I'd not yet even finished my yoga teacher training. And I'm like, well, I'm going to be done like a week before the retreat. So it's all good. So I've got that other aspect of me that sits like that. Now, where does that part come from? Because that part, that's the part that's of me that's passionate. That's the part that, you know, I love it and I jump in and it might not be perfect, but and dive in and do. Well, I want to tell you a story about it because I think, why stories matter. and I think we'll remember it better this way. And it's just happens to be true. It's where I am this week and I'm super excited about it. And it has nothing to do with business. I want to tell you a story over here because I think if you remember this story, we'll remember it better over here. And then we're going to dive in with one of you and I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's stay here with the story. So, this week, today is day 7 for me, and I haven't invested. I'm still on their free trial, but I'm going to invest. I got the Noom app, Noom. Has anybody heard of the Noom app before? Do you know about it? A couple of you. Okay. Found out about it from my friend Jennifer, and I don't need to lose weight. My BMI is just fine. Thank you. But most of my life, I've been a few pounds less than this. And so I wanted to lose a bit of weight and I wanted to learn about food as it is because I had not weighed myself since I was my daughter's age, since my 20s. I didn't even know what my weight was. And I'm like, and my body has usually been a couple pounds lighter than this. And I would like that. I just want that. So I got the Noom app and it's like, it helps you like measure your food and do all this stuff. And so for the first time since my early 20s, I'm focused there and I lost 2 pounds this week. And I'm like, yay, And I've also been to the gym way more. I'm just feeling a lot healthier and it's really fun. And I tell you, you can't experience this much in a lifetime. I weighed myself for the first time in like decades. It was really an exciting experience. And now the new map has you weighing yourself every morning. I get up in the morning, I'm like, I wonder what I weighed today. I'm making up for years of not weighing myself, right? So why do it? Because they make you write down all the food that you're eating. Like that takes time, right? And I don't need an app. I know a lot about healthy eating and I'm a yogi. And I was talking to my sister and she said, you eat smoothies for breakfast, Michelle. Like, why would you, you're cleaner than everybody else. Like, why would you be focused there? And so, and you could really get caught up on the details of it, like filling out and this food and that food and So why is it that I wanted to do this? Well, yeah, I want to lose a few pounds, but I'm not the same weight that I was most of my life. And so I just feel better. My clothes fit better, but there's something else too. And usually with anything, I've documented everything I've eaten for the last week. Who would do that? I have a full life, And I went out for a 2-hour walk yesterday because they want us walking, getting up to 10,000 steps. And now I wouldn't do it just for the app's sake, but they told me why. Less heart disease, less, diabetes, all these things. I didn't really know about the 10,000 steps until this app. Now I really understand. But I wouldn't do it because the app is telling me to. And I don't even need to lose weight. I'm fine. I'm in the, I'm not even at the top of my range. So why would I do this? Well, is it okay if I tell you, if I just be really real for a little bit? And there's some sad things and there's some things that get at what makes me do this. And passionately so. I'm getting up in the morning and running over to the scale and weighing myself. Most people don't even like doing that. Why did that happen? And do you get that if we solve that over there, then we apply it over there in our companies and everything changes? Well, here's the thing. I didn't announce it in the Facebook forum because most of you, in fact, all of you on the call live here today don't know him. But some of you listening to the recording afterwards may know him. So I went to, it was a week ago yesterday. So 8 days ago, I went to Bruce's funeral. Bruce is one of our alumni, and I didn't post in our forum because most of you didn't even know him. But he was an amazing, amazing man. I just loved Bruce. love Jenny, his wife. They both were in our community several years ago. They came to Mexico twice. She joined the community 1 year, and he loved so much what he was seeing in her that he joined the next year. He was in the community. I lived in Calgary, and I used to have people over at my place. So the community used to be local. So he was at my place many, many times. And one day I moved, and my chair was broken in the move, and Bruce just picked it up and said, "Michelle, this isn't any good." And he was a real handyman, right? So he's like, "I'm just taking this and I'll bring it back later." And he brought it back and he'd taken it apart and he put in a new brace. He put it together. And it was like stronger than any of the other chairs. And that's who he was. And Bruce loved to cycle. He was going to take me out to a bike store to buy my new bike. I still haven't, but the day before his funeral, I was at a bike store. I was like, it was on my mind. So 8 days ago, his funeral hit me profoundly. And he was always cycling everywhere, really focused on health. He you can find the threads right in our community. So he died of cancer. And you guys know also that I just went through this cancer journey myself, right? I'm fine. But the morning of my full body scan, I still had to have a full body scan. I'm fine. Everything's good. I'm good. It's all gone. I'm fine. Okay. But that morning I found out about another friend who died of cancer just that morning. So in the week that I was going for my full body scan, I know it's kind of on the dark side, but two friends died of cancer. I'm like, and then right before that, I was in Thailand playing with the elephants and meeting amazing people and going to a part of the world that I've never been to before. And these things came together for me. I'm like, what is it to take care of this body, this vehicle? And, you know, I've been doing that for like decades in yoga, for instance, right? And before that, dance and the gym, and I did lots of things, right? But what is it to take care of this vehicle for our lives right here, right now? What is it to be profoundly alive? What is it to have every cell of my energy as well? Because in Thailand, I'm thinking so profoundly about my mission, like what it is that I'm doing on this planet, what this company does, what this work is. And I've known for quite some time that I want all of my energy. We talk about this in other parts of the company, other parts of our year, about extreme self-care and so on. We'll get to those pieces. This is not why I'm telling you this story today. What is it to have all of my energy, every ounce of it, behind the work that I'm doing? Because I know that 2020 is a really big year for me and for this company and for the work that we do. What is it to have energy for that next level? And then I ran across a new map. A friend of mine had told me about it several months ago, but now I'm like, I want, it's not, do you get it? At first I said, I'm happy to lose a few pounds, but that's not really why I'm doing it. Can you hear it? There's something much deeper, something much more profound than that. And it really has to do with some dark side things too. Like Bruce is no longer, he was in his 60s. He's not like 95, you know? Bruce is not on this planet anymore. I adored that man, amazing man. I'm still here. Can I make full use of everything I've got? And in that case, like, do I really want that, you know, second helping of chocolate cake or whatever it is? Or do I want to be awake, alive? You get the point. Which one's going to go and have me like weighing and measuring stuff? And now, does it make more sense why I'm doing that? Now, like, am I going to jump out of bed and weigh myself? Like, there's like, not like there's no tomorrow, like there is a tomorrow. I get to get up and weigh myself. Bruce doesn't anymore. I'm really in that mood right here, right now. It's like, I have this life. Like Mary Oliver says, like the beautiful poet, the last line of one of my favorite poems on the planet, she says, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? So when we're finding, like, can you hear the difference? Stop being perfect, start being passionate. The perfect part of me would want to make sure that I've exactly weighed. Well, I might actually even do that. I might even get it right, or I don't know, but it doesn't even matter so much. I know that I want my body behind me for my mission. I know I'm here and some people I love are not here anymore. I've been given this life. There's more that I can do. If I have the energy of a donut, or, you know, I don't even eat donuts really. No. If I'm the energy of a donut, or I know in a very refined way, because Neem teaches a lot as well about what's fueling my body. That matters to me. And then I'm going to be passionate about like whether I had a smoothie with protein or not this morning. Right? Now it matters. And I'm not going to let the details get in the way, because I'm thinking about Bruce. And I'm thinking about my mission for next year. And these things are so much bigger. Stop being perfect. Start being passionate. You can go Google it. Go start with the why and the how follows. You get that. But we don't always do it. It's about actually enacting it. It's about actually finding that thing that lights you on fire. When I went when I started going to the gym years ago, and I started working with a trainer, he said it was just part of his questionnaire, and I already knew I was going to invest, you know, but it was part of their investment process. I, you know, did whatever they wanted me to do. And he said, "So why do you want to go to the gym?" That was a mistake. I said, "You really want to know? Do you really actually want to know?" And I think my answer probably took an hour. I don't know. And by the end, he said, "I want to work with you like more than I've ever wanted to work with anybody else." And he worked with like all the, you know, really great people and tons of people. And he's like, "I still want to work with you, Michelle." Because my why about going to the gym, and you heard my why about the Noom app, right? Lit him on fire as well. He was passionate about us working together because it's contagious. And then all the stuff about, you know, did I get it exactly right? And so it just falls off the plate. Now, what I did is I kind of went broad. There's a reason in and around Bruce and my own, you know, cancer journey and my mission and so on. I gave you like this broad, right? But we can go deep down into the why as well. And when we keep asking, it was interesting because the new map itself did this kind of surface version of it, but good enough. It's like, okay, well, why they ask that right at the outset? Because they're psychology based, you know, like, why do you want to lose the weight, or why do you want, you know? And they call it coming up with your super why. So you can go deep as well and just keep asking why of that thing. And even the new map does it. It's like, ask why again, then ask why again, ask why of that until you get to something deeper. And see, the thing is, I don't know that I even would have articulated quite like that. I just knew that it was something bubbling up inside me that I wanted to do. I didn't even necessarily put words to it because it's such an ingrained habit for me for many years that my actions come from my why. But as we're practicing with this, and sometimes we think we're already doing it, but we might not be to the extent that we can be. If it doesn't take your breath away, if it doesn't feel like your hair is on fire, if it doesn't feel like, you know, you're hopping out of bed because you have the joy to be alive around it, if it's not like that, then it's not a really big why. And I want to tell you that this dovetails with our work in the Quantum Leaps virtual retreat that we did in September, was it? Because there I just said, give me your vision 3 years from now. All right. And then it doesn't align. And we figured out that. And I said, there'd be a pieces from having a big why series that will connect with this. I just said, well, what is it? But in order for us to know what that thing is, it's got to be something that's fueled by a big why. So what I want to do for a couple minutes here, we're going to do a couple different things. I want to do this with one volunteer here, and then we're going to get over to the science of getting rich, because all this stuff works together. Our Quantum Leaps retreat, our this call in having a big why series, and the science of getting rich all kind of dovetail together to give you a way to achieve far beyond what you may have even dreamed possible till now. And also give you the fuel to do it and have you not like going, well, you know, I'll do it, but I'll do it tomorrow because I'm worried because or whatever, to have that fueled by that passion so that it comes from a much deeper place, right? You all raise your hand saying, yeah, I want that. So what I'd love to do first is have one of you volunteer and we're going to do an exercise. It's not, we're just going to do a little exercise in and around why. So who would like to play for their company? I suggest you all do this, but here's a chance to do this with me. Who would like to do that? Okay, great. Thank you. And I suggest all of you do this after this call. All of you do this, find a buddy and do this sometime before next week's call, because the calls in having a big Y series, they all dovetail, they all work together. Sometimes a Y is given to us, like in like Luke Skywalker, right? Like it comes from external events. So we don't want our story to be kicked off like that. We want it to come from inside of us. Wouldn't it have been better if Luke didn't have to wait till his aunt and uncle were crispy fried in order to have the impetus to move forward and go save the galaxy, right? So sometimes it's a negative, sometimes it's external, but as entrepreneurs, we want to be in the driver's seat of our story, and we want to find that why that kicks off our journey and allows us the passion to see it through. So Grace, tell us, in a sentence. Now, this is going to be a challenge for you, but you know, I know you're up for it, Grace. Right? Tell us in a sentence, not more than two, what you do. And don't worry, it doesn't have to be perfect. Just tell us what you do so we have a sense of what you do. It's a good thing to be able to do.
I work with highly effective leaders and teams to develop a foundation of understanding, common language, acceptance, where they can have fun and bring their dreams to fruition.
Nice. Not the first iteration of this.
Well, some of it was. It just sort of came to me while I was speaking. I'm going to have to listen to the recording.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. So, and the thing is too, it's not your first rodeo, because it's not your first call. This is not your first call here. We've been working with the words and stories for quite some time. So it's nicely articulated. Okay. So, so you're working with high achievers, highly effective leaders and teams, you said, and you work to create all kinds of things with them, understanding, acceptance and so on, right? Fun dreams for their dreams coming to fruition. So, why do you bother doing that, Grace? Like, well, you could be, I don't know, selling bananas on the street corner instead. You could be lying on a beach in Hawaii. You could be teaching grade school. I don't know. You could be a lawyer. I don't know. Like, you could be anything. Why this?
Because I think it's so much more fun to work together than to work alone. And when we work together, what makes us most effective is having unique perspectives and different people who don't always agree, but it could be that's where the creation comes in.
Okay. So this is a great start. And then Grace, can you say from this, do you think this answer is coming from your head or your heart right now?
I think that one came from my head.
Yeah. Could you, if you could hear that, raise your hand. Is that okay, Grace, if I ask them that? Yeah. Could you hear that? Raise your hand. Yeah. So when push comes to shove, when Grace is trying to create her free gift, for instance, this week, right? And we could do this about the free gift itself. Right now I'm doing it about the company. You want to do this at every level of your company. Right now we're going for the macro vision. Okay. But she needs to do that around the free gift. I gave you that myself. Right, toward the beginning of the call. So right now, that statement doesn't have enough fuel to have Grace. Sometimes maybe we have to stay up late at night. Sometimes we work hard. I'm not advocating that as a way of life, but sometimes you got to put it in. Sometimes there's going to be a cranky customer. Sometimes there's going to be a difficult day. Sometimes family will be cranky. Sometimes we'll be cranky. Sometimes, an order doesn't come in that we need, or whatever it is. A fax machine. That's funny, but I did need a fax machine a couple of weeks ago or a month ago. Fax machine doesn't work, or computer doesn't work, or whatever it is, right? Or we're longing for fax machines when we haven't entered the 21st century yet. So you said it's fun to work together, not alone. And people don't always agree, and that's where their creation comes in. So, you know, why do you want that? Why is it exciting to you? And I just dove into one piece. We could have gone deep. See, before I went wide, now I'm going deep into Grace. Into Grace's one piece of it, right? We can go. We want to go deep. So, why is it fun if people don't always agree? And that's creation. That sounds like just not fun. That sounds like kids fighting. I don't know.
I, I think when we work together, it's the acceptance piece that we get to learn about other people. We get to learn about ourselves, and work becomes fun when we're in an environment where we're accepted, when we're acknowledged, when we're heard, when we can each add value, whether it's based on who we are or a distinct perspective.
Got it. Okay. And it doesn't always have to, mine happen to go to the dark side. Sometimes it's going to, sometimes inspiration and that true passion comes from, like, you know, Luke, something really awful happens to him or his family before he like gets up and goes to save the universe, right? It doesn't have to come from the dark side, but sometimes it does. Part of mine did, part of mine came from the mission. And I just, and Grace, you can always go, nope, I don't want to dig any deeper here, and it's okay. And you might want to do this when you're journaling or whatever, but you're okay if I just, we keep going, and you're always in control here, okay? So, yep. So something about acceptance and being heard, and just in the way that you're saying it, I'm just hearing the tinge of a dark side maybe. Mm-hmm. Could be wrong. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Is there some kind of history of when people, you, someone around you, wasn't accepted, was not heard? But talk to us about that. Why does that matter to you so much? What happened?
I think that was the story of my life. So I just feel like, you know, as kids, we're often, there could be a lot of cruelty with kids and scenarios and things. And I
okay,
think,
so I'm going to stop you. Mm. I'm going to stop you there for a second.
Yeah.
Because that's kids out there. What about you?
Mm. Okay, now you're going to get somewhere.
Yeah.
I was often told to be quiet.
Mm.
To not be who I am. And I also had messages from other people, my biggest sister, who was always so excited when I said something quirky and off the wall because it changed the dynamic. She always thought it was fun.
Mm.
And so I think back as, you know, in organizations,
thank you. And before you even say anything else, actually, and we could spend the next hour doing this. Who could hear a difference between what I'll call grace number one and grace number two? Grace number one at the beginning, grace number two with what she just said, raise your hand. Yeah. Anyone not? Grace, you know, I know you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when Grace said, now you're going to get somewhere, and if we kept poking here, this is our private session and we had another hour to go, for instance, right? Can you, could you hear the beginning of and Grace, I hope you don't mind it, but like voice starting to break. Could you hear it? If you listen back to this recording, now you're going to get somewhere. Yeah, you're all nodding. And this, I was told to be quiet, not to be who I am. You know, if we were taking this further together, but this is for all of you because I wanted you to see the process. We often stay at the level of grace number one, even though we don't know we're doing it. Because that's, in fact, the first answer she gave me, right? But what my desire for you is for you to know your version for you, Sergio number two, Wendy number two, you know? And then there's the number three, four, and five. Do you see that if we kept doing this further, further, further iterations, there's a deeper and deeper reason that I'm doing that. And these words that Grace just said, they probably wouldn't even need to be refined very much. We need a structure like we learn over in practical applications, right? And they need other pieces, but that goes straight into Grace's talk. Now, she's not going to think about that when she's trying to find her why. Because she's just going to stay with the why. And then she's going to think about the particular audience. Because if it's corporate audiences or whatever, you got to know your audience too. So I'm not, that's a different training. But can you, let's say there's grace number one and then grace number two speaking on stage. Who would listen first to grace number one here? Who would listen first to grace number two? Raise your hand. Yeah. Those are the powerful words when we tap into that why. That's where that passion comes from. And the question, here's the question in your home play with this week. So a couple things, go find your word for the year. And I gave you your why for that too. Everything, there's always a why. It's like, otherwise it just ends into chaos, right? So that's one part of your home play for this week. And then the other piece is, you know, what's your why for what you're doing? What's your why for that free gift? That'd be, you know, use the free gift because it came up this week. If that's something that you're planning to do this week, what's your why for doing it? If you don't know that, you're not going to have enough fuel to carry it through. If you really know why that matters, if you want to get your mission out there, you want that free gift, right? But even that, that's still at head level. What is it for you? Just like what we saw modeled in grace here. So, and the question you can ask, like, you know, why do I want that? Why do I want to be able to do that? And why am I doing it? And why do I want to be able to do that? Right? Why do I want that? Why do I want that? Why do I want that? To keep digging deeper and deeper and deeper, like I did with grace. Like, why did you want that? That piece about acceptance. I think there's more there. What else? What else? Keep digging deeper. You can do this with a partner. And then another question that you can add to it is, you know, why do I want this? And I'm going to go, so thank you, Grace. That was beautiful, beautifully done. Thank you. And then why do I know that I'm going to get this? That's another great why question to ask yourself. And I'm going to go back to Noom and my, you know, because, you know, just like, it's light and fun, but it's also connected to a really big why for me, right? But why do I know I'm going to get this? Well, because I have a big why. Because I have Noom behind me, because that I know is like millions of people have been successful for. My why? Because I've watched my friends as well. They've been really successful for it. The one who recommended it to me. Why do I know I'm going to get this? Because this is how it came up in me. My editor said, don't say it. Because it sounds presumptuous, but don't worry if it's like, it's just for you. Do you get it? So it's okay if I share mine that goes like, and my editor goes, don't say that because blah, 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 right? What came up unbidden in my mind is because Bruce's life matters. Now, can you hear if that's presumptuous? Like I'm using an app and that's about Bruce's life. And so my editor goes, well, I'm here. Well, who do you think you are? Blah, blah, blah. When the editor starts kicking up a fuss, you're probably onto something really big. Because it matters in that way to me. Just like I was saying, not about kids. What about you, Grace, as a kid, for example? You and you here and now. So why do I want that? Why do I know I'm going to get it? Because I had to go for a full body cancer scan the week that I heard two friends died of cancer. And I'm fine. And it reminds me of when I had my heart surgery as a kid. And I'm like, I guess I must be here for a reason because I'm still here. So why do you want that? Why do you know you're going to get it? All right. I want to hear, there's still more that I want to share with you, but stop being perfect. Start being passionate. Again, if you could hear the difference in grace number one and grace number two, and it's all about just digging further into that why, even though we think we know it, we haven't done it that way. If you understand where that passion comes from, and know about what you could do this week to make that happen, either for your company, like we saw with Grace, or for your free gift, or for whatever project you've got at hand, raise your hand. If you think you know what to do with a partner, thank you. Fantastic. That's all the hands raised I can see. Great. So we got to that stop being perfect, start being passionate. Yes. All right. And also, what if you can't get there? Here's these 10 things on my plate, and I'm trying with this one, but maybe it ought not to be on your plate. Somebody told me when I was pregnant with Dana, it was another academic, and she said, you know, when I had my kids, it just like fueled purpose in me. And I just knew my field so much better. I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And I waited and waited and waited for that to happen after Dana was born. I'm like, why is this not happening to me? Not in that same way. Like I like this. I know I like that. And there were things I was passionate about, the students there and so on. It's like, oh, I'm not supposed to be here over at the university. I'm supposed to be doing something else. And giving birth to Dana gave fuel to that for me. So the whole of being at the university wasn't even supposed to be there for me. So if you can't find that why, if it doesn't move you to tears, if your voice doesn't quake, if it doesn't, you know, have you jumping out of bed in the morning, if it doesn't feel like your hair is on fire, maybe that thing doesn't belong in your life. And that can be scary. That's about everything. Our relationships, our company, how we treat our bodies, what we do with our clients, right? Everything. Does it even belong there? That's kind of a sober moment for the moment, because this does this have the possibility to shake up our lives? Yes, it does. But if we want a life that's filled with passion, if we want to be on purpose in our lives, don't we want to be focused on those things that matter to us? Okay, so for the last part of today's class, I want to make sure that we get over to the science of getting rich. And I just want to see, because I have never, ever given this to this community before, and have never shared this part in the way that we will and are through this series. But it's this book has changed my life. This book, I've read it multiple times. I read sections of it over and over. And do you notice what I'm doing right now without even noticing I'm doing it? What did I just do? Yeah, Sergio.
You're giving a why to us.
I gave you a why for reading this. I can't help myself. I didn't say now I'm supposed to give them a why. It's ingrained in me. It's how I think. It's how I be out of years of practice, right? So it's pedagogical as well. It's about teaching as well. So the science of getting rich. And so first I want to ask, like, how many of you have read at least a part of it? Hands up, because I just want to know, okay, how many have read all of it? Hands up. Quite a few of you, actually. That's really cool. Okay. How many of you read at least the first four chapters? How many of you read at least the first chapter? Okay. I think that's everybody's read, you know, because most of you, a lot of you said you read the whole thing, so got it. Okay. How many of you have read either the whole book or at least the first four chapters? Raise your hand. I didn't ask the question clearly. Yeah, because I thought that was like, yeah, that's the whole room. And if you're listening to listening afterwards to the recording, that's you too. Okay. So my copy of it didn't have these questions at the back of the book. And sometimes the questions at the back of the book are really kitschy and funny and not that good. But I think these questions at the back of the book are wonderful. So I want to just spend a couple minutes, because it's an entry road. And I suggest that you get on a call with a buddy and discuss these questions. And, oh, hey, Sergio, that's you. We're cooked, are we? I just muted your line. Something was beeping. All right. So, I suggest that you get on a call with a buddy and work through these questions, because they're brilliant. I was doing it on my own, and my copy has never included these questions before. There's a new edition for me, right? So, and it's just a nice way to get into, progressively get into what matters in this book. These questions are well pointed because they're really right at the heart of what this book is about, as I see it. So if you go to, I don't know if you don't have in front of you, that's fine. Page 94, the questions for chapter one. Okay, I'm just going to look at the first question right now. Show that the right to life includes the right to be rich. Tell why in full. So the science of getting rich, attracting financial success through creative thought. So first, I want to ask you, why did they add these back of the book questions? Why did they add this question? Show that the right to life includes the right to be rich. Why did they add that question? And why do you think that this book added that focus, given what we were just talking about? Yeah, Sergio.
Because it relates to your value. A lot of people, especially on the spiritual path, think there's something wrong with being rich and have been prosperous in life.
Thank you. Exactly. If I have a founding assumption that there's something wrong with money, okay, got it. Thanks, Sergio. And we'll wrap up in, we'll probably be another, well, we might go to a quarter two. We'll see. But, and if you can't, like, if everybody goes, then, you know, we'll wrap up and we'll continue the discussion next time. Right. But I want to at least get you started on the science of getting rich. Right. So if I don't have, it's the opposite of a big why. If I have something that pulls me in the opposite direction, if I make any money, even, there's something wrong with me and something bad. I was raised Catholic, and I cherish much about that upbringing. But I learned that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Some heaven, right? Some of you might have learned things like that. Or, you know, there was a woman who just put in 2 pennies and this man gave all that money, but that didn't matter at all. Just these 2 pennies mattered. Like all these, you know, and there was the rich man beside that, you know, and so I'm like, oh, you know, and it's, and I just grew up unconsciously with, you know, oh, rich people are greedy. Rich people are, you know. Well, if I think that, and then I set out to make money, it's going to be impossible. And if I won't receive money, I can't build a company, because then I got a hobby and I'm just giving my stuff away. And then I'm going to run out of resources and I can't even do that thing I'm meant to do. So if I don't break through that money block, if I have a founding assumption that rich people are evil or rich people are greedy or whatever, I came in with these without knowing that I did. And it was when Dana was small and I was watching her play with some dolls. Like she had these little, I think she was playing with Lego and she made these little, and then she had these little dolls. She was 4 years old or something. She was going, oh, there were these two sisters and they were really, really poor and they barely had anything to eat, but they were so happy and they loved each other. And I was like, but they couldn't eat. I'm like, oh, you know. What am I teaching my daughter? And I started to retrain my brain right around that time, many years ago now, because I realized I was training her to be broke. And it came from the two sides of my family. My mom's side of the family, so the story go like they're broke and they really got along well and they love each other. And my dad's side of the family, they made a lot of money and there was a lot of dissension and some of them stole stuff. So therefore, out of that sample size, and it wasn't even true, but that was the given story in my family. I want to be like this. And so did my daughter. And I watched her play and I'm like, oh my God, that needs to change or her life is going to be very hard. And how is she going to contribute to anything? Because she's going to be starving. She's going to have to worry about just feeding herself. So the book starts out and it will give us a great jumping off place for the Abundance series as well. The Abundance series is going to be like never before because we have this as a jumping off part. When we start out changing our the stories inside us, show that the right to life includes a right to be rich, tell why in full. And then 3, explain what a complete life is and show how riches are essential to complete living. Somebody describe in your own words both what these questions are aimed at and what chapter 1 in the Science of Getting Rich is aimed at. Each chapter, each page of this book is so valuable in terms of both connecting, how it connects with the Having a Big Why series, and then how we build our mission on the planet. Somebody tell me, explain what a complete life is and show how riches are essential to complete living. Instead of answering that question, I want you to tell me why that question is important. It's related to what Sergio said, but I want to take that why deeper. And then I want you to answer the question. So first off, why is that an important question to be asking? Explain what a complete life is and show how riches are essential to complete living. Why is that an important question for an entrepreneur to be even asking? That's why I want to dive into these questions, because I want you to think deeply about these, right? Because we can just read them and go, oh yeah, I got it. But I want us to get to the why of each one of these so that we can get to, like, this book is life-changing when we hear it. Yeah, Barb, go ahead.
It's asking us to confirm. It's not saying explain if a complete life, if riches are essential to complete living. It's making a statement that they are essential. The why is already there. And so our answer can't be no, they aren't essential. We aren't given that choice. We're to say why they are essential.
Yes, exactly. And our minds are formed by the questions, right? We want to ask empowering questions. And this is an empowering question because it's getting us to completely reframe perhaps the way we've thought about money and riches. Because in the Science of Getting Rich, we can't build wealth if we're starting with all the wrong foundation. So first, we go far beyond my daughter with her playing with these little dolls going like, oh, they're poor, but really, really happy, and conflating, you know, lack of wealth with happiness somehow. Far from that. It's turning that completely around. Because some people just say, oh, well, I have a really rich life. I have friends, I have relationships, I, you know, I can barely eat, but it's a really rich life. And this is saying, actually, that's missing something. That's what this book is asserting. It's saying that, and sometimes it's funny, like in Western culture, we think that's true. It's like, well, look at those poor people over there. They can't have a full life, so we've got to go help them. You know? So part of Western culture has a story that that's true. We can't live a full life without wealth because we think those poor people over there, we got to do something about that because they're not able to live that full life. But when it comes to us, we go, oh, but that's, you know, that's greed, or I better not want too much, or that's going to take it from somebody else. And all those thoughts make it like, it's like climbing uphill then to build wealth. And when you're building your company, you are building wealth unless what you have is a hobby. So it is that whole first chapter is putting down a very different foundation beneath our houses. Instead of saying, well, maybe it's okay if I make a dollar or two, I'm not so sure, I'll eke it out, it might be all right, you know, nobody around me had money and the people I knew, they were kind of not good, but maybe I can make a few dollars and then I'm going to go into that strategy session with somebody and ask them to invest, but I have all this stuff going on inside myself, in and around money. I don't know how to get there from there. So instead, just even in that first chapter, really rethinking what a full life is and giving complete permission to choose to be abundant, to be wealthy in all the ways that we can. All right. So I know we got to go. And before I'm the last one here too, today, a smaller group today. So does that give you a starting ground for diving deeper into the science of getting rich? Yes. So I encourage you to go back over. I've read it multiple times. It is a book that can be read many, many times because you will see different things and it will work at different levels. If you have had any of those conditionings in around money, then it gives you a very different way to view the world. And when we step into it, what can be built from there? So one inspired action. I'll see you less than 24 hours from now. That's really exciting. I love you guys. It's always so great when we get a chance to deep dive together. So, and that will be with us and Karen's community as well. So, and with a whole different subject matter that's going to having why and practical applications beside each other, it's going to dovetail really, really nicely. I'm really excited about that. So one aha, one inspired action so that we're always learning to see ahas in our world. And you notice I'm giving you a why about that. And so that we're making sure that we're taking it out into our world so it's not just head knowledge. Every time I give you a why about that, right? So letting it sink deeper into the cells each time we hear it. So grace, one aha, one inspired action.
It's both inspired action and the awareness is that go deeper for my why. Mm-hmm. And that's the action, is go deeper for my why.
Yes. Yeah. It changes how we speak from stage, it changes the fuel behind us, it changes even getting, being able to get to those things because all that perfection stuff. Thank you. And what else?
I think that was my action. My word for the year last year was inner source, like going deep in and just doing the soul searching. And my word for this year is stepping out.
I love it. And the years then dovetail to like they're connected. Once I've done that, then I can be beautiful. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Grace. Marla, you're up next.
I think it's that my one thing is really going deeper to find what the deeper reason is for what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And then using that.
And again, how else can I talk to somebody else about it? Right. I don't even know it. How are they going to know it? Right. And why would they engage in it? Thank you, Marla. Good. And then?
And then using it to get my initial free offer out.
Yes. if I only am sort of care in my head, I'm not going to get there. There's going to be other things and the perfectionist thing. And, but when it's on fire, when it matters like that, you know, I'll document everything I eat this week and you'll get the free gift out.
Right? Yeah.
Thank you. Beautiful. Barb, you're up next.
The aha is around the questions to chapter one, because I have had a negative money story, mm-hmm. And how it this permission to have abundance, mm-hmm. that's my aha, and my action is also to work on my why, to be mm-hmm. digging at it.
Love it. Thank you. I know you're hearing this and taking it in and working with it this week, playing with it. Fantastic. I just noticed Mary Kay actually posted hers. She said she had to leave to pick up her granddaughter. Passionate feels big and perfection feels limited. Her inspired action, review my 4-minute talk and show it to another person. So I happen to see it. I don't always see the chat, but I happen to catch it. So one more inspired action to add. So thank you so much for being here. So glad you're here to play live on Monday afternoon, so unusual for us. I will see you all tomorrow. We're back to our usual time, 12:30 Mountain Time. Please translate to your own time zone, where we'll be diving into how we put a bunch of this stuff in practice on the court to grow our businesses and our work in the world. So now we'll know why. We'll be able to find that why better. Quantum leaps, those two fit together as well, because we need a why to create that inspired vision for 3 years from now, for instance. And then let's get it on the court with practical applications. So have a fantastic day, everybody. So great to see you here. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye for now.